Hey, you own a business? Maybe we should consider advertising on the show. See if we can make a little bit of money. My email address is scott@scotthorton.org. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show here. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show. And our first guest on the show, well, maybe our only guest on the show. I'm still waiting to hear back from a couple, but anyway, it's the meticulous Marcy Wheeler from EmptyWheel.net. That's her blog, EmptyWheel.net. Some other great writers there, Jim White and B-Maz, and I think that's it. Anyway, they write great stuff, and especially her. As Snowden leak anniversary approaches, intelligence community prepares to declare victory. Oh, man. I don't like your headline at all, Marcy. Welcome back to the show.
Sorry to piss everyone off.
Well, you know, the other day the NBC says that 40% have no opinion at all, and the plurality opposed Snowden and what he did, and they don't think that they had the right to know. But then there was another poll came out yesterday, I believe, which had another conclusion to it. I think I have it here somewhere. This one was a Newsweek poll. Most in the U.S. think Snowden did the right thing. And, you know, I would have to assume that even if just a bare majority, right? A bare majority's got to be basically good on Snowden, what he did, and what ought to be done, which would be some kind of real rollback of the NSA back under constitutional limits, right? And that there's a consensus for that, not in D.C., but among the American people, don't you think?
Yeah, but the problem is that what the programs involve, I think, hasn't been really communicated well to the majority of the American people, and therefore DC thinks that they can get away with this power play that they pulled at the end of what I call the USA Freedomer Act.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean, I know, for example, that top intelligence officials believe that the only thing Americans care about is getting our phone records out of the NSA's hands. And that's probably true. I think that you could probably verify that in polls, but that is not the only way or even the worst way that the NSA is infringing on our privacy. And so What the bill did, I mean, basically what happened is you had the USA Freedom Act, which was Sensenbrenner Leahy, really good bill, didn't fix everything, but fixed a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And then Mike Rogers threatened to basically go around the Senate, the House Judiciary Committee, where Sensenbrenner is a senior member. John Conyers is the top Democratic member. Jerry Nadler, senior Democratic member. And Bob Goodlatte was kind of letting that happen. And to prevent that from happening, those three, Conyers, Nadler, and Sensenbrenner, and actually a couple other people, negotiated this deal, which was still the USA Freedom Act, but I started calling it the USA Freedom Act because it gutted key parts of it. And that was fine. It made it through the House Judiciary Committee. Even people like Zoe Lofgren, who were skeptical, said, you know, we're going to do this because it's the consensus. Made it through the House Intelligence Committee. And then right before it came to the floor of the House, it got changed in much more significant ways in what I now call the U.S. Freedomer Act. And it did things to parts of two surveillance programs where there hasn't been as much attention, and did things that I think really seriously got the oversight over these programs and also expand the reach of the phone dragnet in key ways. So
right. Okay, now I want to delve into those details here in just a second because it's very important. But first of all, I want to make sure I understand you right. It was already the Freedom Act, but now it's the Freedomer Act. So you had already added a B, and now you've added an ER because it's even worse than it never was real freedom, unless it was maybe like free with a H, like the former head of the FBI.
No, the original bill was a great bill. And I think one of the really telling aspects of the legislative history of this is that over half of the people who originally co-sponsored the USA Freedom Act, the original Leahy-Sensenbrenner Act, voted against it in the House. And that was having almost no time to learn anything about the bill. They changed it at the last minute, and it was kind of a last minute scramble to figure out exactly what the bill did. And with that, a lot of the co-sponsors just bagged on it, and it passed with the support of people who wanted to support that compromise, who believed what Bob Goodlatte was telling them about surveillance, even though I don't know why they would. And that's where we're at now.
Yeah. All right. Now, so to get back to the beginning here real quick about the public opinion, and, you know, I know that you don't run Gallup or anything, and you don't get to do the polls yourself or anything like that. But I wonder if, you know, obviously you're very plugged into this issue on all levels. And I wonder, it seems like my impression is that, you know, one of the things that you talked about, well, the people don't want their metadata taken, whatever, the phone call stuff. It seems to me like the major, you know, kind of TV news narrative here is, oh my God, the NSA's tapping everybody's phone? Oh no, they're not tapping everybody's phone. They're just collecting the metadata. And yeah, maybe that's a bit much. Okay. And then, but so then that's the whole thing. Everybody's really relieved because of the kind of false alternative that, you know, they're listening to all of us all the time. And as long as that's not the problem, then, well, you know, metadata, that's, I know what data is, metadata. Now I gotta go find a glossary, and people kind of, they phase out, and they sort of think it doesn't matter that we've had, I don't know, what, 3 dozen, 4 dozen major stories out of these NSA files already. All the, that's the only thing that they know about is like the phone records. And so if you're going to reform the phone records thing, okay, fine. But they didn't even hear the part about how, yeah, and they give their entire intelligence haul every day over to the Israelis. And they're keeping track of everywhere your cell phone has been for the last 5 years. And they found their loophole where they can just take everything off of Google servers as long as it's an overseas server under some executive order you've never heard of. They never heard all that. 60 Minutes never did a, here's everything we learned so far, everybody, or anything like that. And so it's kind of, they've really kind of neutered it as an issue. Now it's more about Snowden and whether you like him or not.
Right, and I think that that was a deliberate strategy from the very beginning. The government wanted to do a limited hangout just on the Section 215, the phone metadata program. And by the way, that story you just told about what people didn't get to hear, they also didn't get to hear that Michael Hayden recently said in an interview that we kill people based off metadata.
Right.
So that should dissuade anybody that anything is just metadata, because it can get you killed. But so that the phone metadata and what was called PRISM, which is part, the biggest part, but it's part of what's called Section 702 of content collection. But they didn't tell us about the two more problem. I mean, eventually this was declassified at a little level. But what the government didn't want to talk a lot about is that in addition to going to Google and collecting emails from people talking to people overseas on Google, they're also accessing up to 75% of the internet traffic coming in through the phone switches. They're doing packet sniffing on that to find certain selectors, so either email addresses, phone numbers, malware addresses, code, things like that. So that technically exposes up to 75% of everyone's international internet traffic to the NSA through a packet sniffer, through an automated kind of robot checking to see what you email. And then the other program, which I think is even more problematic, is once they've collected those emails between you and somebody overseas off Google, the government can go in and search it. They don't need a warrant. They can search on you. They can say, Scott Horton, I'm going to go look and see if you've talked to any of our targets that we've collected via Google. I'm just going to search on Scott Horton. I don't have to get a warrant to do so. I don't even have to think that you're suspicious to do so. I don't have to think you're a terrorist to do so. I can just go in and say, here's my foreign intelligence purpose, and I will search on Scott Horton.
All right. Now, I'm sorry that we have to hold it right here and go out to this break, but when we get back, we're going to talk more with Marcy Wheeler about what we've learned from the Snowden documents so far and how outraged we should still all be, and the problems with the reforms in Congress. Just a sec. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop. which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com. All right. We're back. It's the Scott Horton Show. I'm Scott Horton. And I've got the meticulous Marcy Wheeler on the show. I don't have a producer, but I have a producer of nicknames for my regular guests because I lack the imagination to come up with good ones. And so I got a whole list now. This is the meticulous Marcy Wheeler, a.k.a. Empty Wheel. That's her name on the internet. EmptyWheel.net is her blog, and she's at Empty Wheel on Twitter. And she's a really great writer and extremely meticulous, in fact. She can read legalese better than the people who write it. I mean, man, it's a real talent, and it's fighting for freedom. So check it out there, EmptyWheel.net. And so now here's the thing. I better shut up for most of this segment here because you've got some things to explain to us about how this new law makes things worse. And so I guess the first thing is what I saw you talking about this on Twitter. You call it the pizza problem. Is that right?
Yeah, the short version is, you know, if you think about it, the people you call, there's the people you call that you actually want to talk to. And there's the people you call to do functional things with your lives, like check your voicemail or order a pizza or call the Comcast repairman, because everybody has to call the Comcast repairman all the time. And then there are the people you don't want to talk to but get through to you anyway, the telemarketers, right? And those last two categories, the telemarketers and the Comcast repairmen and pizza men, are both people who may not be meaningful ties at all. Certainly the telemarketers aren't. The pizza man might be. You might love your pizza joint. You might hate Comcast, but it's still, you know, but the calls between you and Comcast, and then between Comcast and your next door neighbor who's also calling Comcast to get a repair, they don't actually reflect a tie between you. All they reflect is that Comcast has a monopoly and we're all screwed. And so to make this contact chaining meaningful, you have to take out all of those phone calls. Otherwise, everyone is connected 2 degrees away. Something like 17% of people in a sample will be connected through voicemail box numbers. So,
well, it seems like the NSA might even prefer to weed out things like that, right?
Sort of. I mean, yes.
Well, if they have a specific mission, but I guess then again, the real mission is collect it all. So any excuse to collect it all.
Right. I believe that they do this. It's called high volume number. I believe that they do this and do it quite seriously now that they have all the phone records, because if not, they're getting just spam. I believe when they move things to the telecoms will be able to do a lot of it because the telecoms do it themselves. You know, they know who the Comcast repairmen are and they know who the telemarketers are, but they don't know who the pizza joints are, or they don't necessarily know whether the pizza joints are meaningful or not. But the NSA has an interest in just getting meaningful data, but they also have an interest in getting back to having as much data to play with as they have now. And that's part of the problem, I think, is that while they have a real incentive to clean out that garbage, they also have an incentive to open the floodgates as widely as possible from the telecoms, just to make sure. I mean, quite honestly, they do need to check the pizza joints every once in a while. There was a pizza joint that was at the center of the Boston Marathon attack, and if that never got beyond Verizon under this new system, they might not be able to check what kind of relationships actually work through that pizza joint. So that's one problem, is that they can suck in a lot more Americans through
not
this
that
phone
they
chain.
Stopped that attack with their access
the
to
pizza
the pizza joint.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't do a darn bit of good.
But they might coulda if they'd been trying, if they hadn't been busy entrapping some idiot into saying he loved Osama into a microphone.
Right. Or I mean, they apparently don't track Russian extremists as closely as they track Yemeni extremists.
Right.
But
well, Russian extremists have their use. That's why. Yeah. That's what Colleen Rowley said. You know, that was part of the reason they weren't allowed to search Zacharias Moussaoui's stuff the month before 9/11 was because, oh, maybe he's a jihadi, but He's a Chechen jihadi, and we like those.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no,
those
seriously.
Those were his ties anyway, through his brother, et cetera.
So that's one reason it may make it worse. They may be able to solve this problem. They may do it in good faith. I don't know. Another reason that things are worse is because right now the FISA court is fairly strict about what you can access this collection of all our phone data for, and you can only do it for certain terrorist groups, a legitimate connection to certain terrorist groups, and Iran. I don't know how Iran got in there, but they did, whatever. The way the law is written, what the court will be doing is not reviewing whether a specific phone number has a tie to a terrorist group. It has to be relevant to a terrorist investigation. But that's not what the court is. They're going to review that relevance thing, but we already know that they've blown up the meaning of relevance anyway. What the court is actually going to be doing is reviewing whether or not you're an agent of a foreign power, which means it could include drug cartels, it could include hackers, it could include sympathizers of the Venezuelan government, it could include, all of a sudden the possible uses for this become much broader. Mm-hmm. And in their the rules about what you have to get rid of, also use that standard. The NSA gets to keep everything for which they can invent a foreign intelligence purpose. So again, they used to, originally the bill said you had to have some tie to, you had to be relevant to a terrorism investigation. Now it's just that you have to have some kind of foreign intelligence purpose. Again, broadens the use.
Yeah, it sounds like broadens it. I mean, if relevant means anything, then anything means the whole cosmos, right?
Right. And foreign intelligence can work that way. The way the NSA does foreign intelligence assessments right now is they only get rid of something that obviously doesn't have any foreign intelligence value. And they, they say things like you might one day make a good informant could be a foreign intelligence purpose. And therefore, they'll keep you, Scott Horton, even though you have clearly no ties to terrorists. But, you might one day make a good informant for something entirely different.
Amazing.
Right. And then there's a third way they do this. There's an emergency function where the attorney general can certify that this is important. And there they've just done away with the terrorism function altogether. They took out that language in the last revision. And already the emergency provision is wide open for a variety of other reasons. So, the attorney general can declare an emergency and not even have to pretend that there's any tie to terrorism. So they're clearly broadening the scope of how they're going to use this program.
He could even probably declare that emergency in secret, right?
Of course, yeah. No, it is. It will always be secret.
It wouldn't have to be like, I declare a national emergency, and now we can at least debate that because it's above board and we know that they're using that excuse or something.
Yeah,
you just write a memo.
You have to eventually tell the FISA court in Congress. But even if the FISA court rules that the attorney general was wrong, it wasn't an emergency, it wasn't a good use of the data, guess who's in charge of making sure that NSA doesn't have to.
Oh, you're still talking
data.
About on a one-off basis. That I misunderstood. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I thought.
No, it's ripe for abuse. I mean, it's very ripe for abuse. And
sure.
And we know that the FBI has abused these things in the past, the exigent letters. So, they're not. You cannot assume that they won't abuse this going forward because they already have.
Yeah. It reminds me of George Bush and the 9/11 Commission. We're like, all right, well, we're going to pretend to investigate the worst failure of the federal government ever. But really, this is an outcome-based commission. I think he even used that term. This is an outcome-based commission. And on the last day, it's going to recommend that we create a Department of Homeland Security. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So get to work recommending a new government agency, everybody. And that was the point of it. It wasn't supposed to be a real investigation of the attack. It was supposed to be a real lead up to a recommendation to create a new giant government agency. And that's kind of what it sounds like they're getting away with here, is saying, oh, you have a problem with the way we're doing NSA business now, huh? And you think that's not quite up to snuff? Maybe you're right. We need some reforms. And yet they're still the ones doing the reforming, not us. And so they get it their way.
Yeah.
1 year out from the biggest scandal ever or whatever. And it's, and again, ongoing, as we talked about in the first segment, ongoing scandal. Just yesterday it broke that they're collecting everybody's Facebook images and every other thing they can find on Google Images and anywhere else in the world for their facial recognition programs. And which to me is, I mean, if it stood alone, if nothing else was going on, that seems to me like it would be absolutely huge that the national government has such a interest in, you know, such a broad take on all images on the planet. But anyway, your journalism is always great, which is why I'm always disappointed by the end of the interview, Marcy. We're not getting anywhere here except maybe going backwards, but at least I know it, so that's better. Appreciate your time, as always. Thank you, Marcy. EmptyWheel.net, y'all. Hey, y'all, Scott here. First, I want to take a second to thank all the show's listeners, sponsors, and supporters for helping make this show what it is. I literally couldn't do it without you. And now I want to tell you about the newest way to help support the show. Whenever you shop at Amazon.com, stop by ScottHorton.org first and just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page. That way, the show will get a kickback from Amazon's end of the sale. It won't cost you an extra cent. And it's not just books. Amazon.com sells just about everything in the world, except cars, I think. So whatever you need, they've got it. Just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page at ScottHorton.org or go to ScottHorton.org/Amazon.
The military-industrial complex. The disastrous rise of misplaced power.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here. I'd like for you to read this book, The War State, by Michael Swanson. America's always gone to war a lot, though in older times it would disarm for a bit between each one. But in World War II, the U.S. built a military and intelligence apparatus so large, it ended up reducing the former constitutional government to an almost ceremonial role and converting our economy into an engine of destruction. In The War State, Michael Swanson does a great job telling the sordid history of the rise of this national security state, relying on important first-hand source material, but writing for you and me. Find out how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy all alternately empowered and fought to control this imperial beast, and how the USA has gotten to where it is today, corrupt, bankrupt, soaked in blood, despised by the world. The War State by Michael Swanson, available at Amazon.com and at Audible.com. Or just click the logo in the right-hand margin at scotthorton.org.
We should take nothing for granted.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for CashIntoCoins.com. So you want to buy some Bitcoins? CashIntoCoins.com makes it fast, easy, and safe to get Bitcoins. Just deposit the money into their account at any of the major banks they support, and then just email them a picture of the receipt and your Bitcoin address, and you get your Bitcoins. Almost always the same day it clears. In a tough, competitive new market, CashIntoCoins.com has the advantage. A great system and great customer service to keep you coming back. That's CashIntoCoins.com. Just click the link in the right margin at ScottHorton.org. You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers? Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.